Hey everyone, welcome to Just a VR Show. I'm Libby, and today I'm going to be talking about Introduction to the VR Web. So first, I want to give a little bit of a little differentiation between web VR, which I've talked about pretty extensively before, so you're probably familiar with that, and just kind of the general VR web. Web VR is an experimental API for browsers that allows support of a variety of different VR devices to be offloaded into the browser and separate that out from what the developer needs to worry about when building virtual reality enabled websites. The VR web in general is just kind of to refer to the entirety of VR experiences on the web, and this can be done in a variety of different ways. Both of these have a lot of kind of overlapping similarities. One's a specific API that enables the second. Today we're mostly going to focus on web VR, but the kind of implications and end result of sites that are built with the web VR API is to enable a virtual reality web. So with that in mind, we're going to go ahead and just start talking a little bit about the benefits of web VR, what a virtual reality website looks like. We're going to do a little demo for you of some content that I've written using the web VR API and follow up with just kind of looking forward into what the VR web may be like. So the first thing is, why build for the VR web? Why use something and build this API out for web VR? And there's a lot of the benefits that already exist for a distributed kind of content platform that the internet today has translates really well into distributed content for VR. You don't have to install different VR applications. You run them in the browser on any device that you might pick up. This lets the developer kind of not have to focus on the specific types of VR devices they may need to support. So you can actually write one site that runs on mobile or on desktop VR without having to do different builds, without having to kind of mess around too much with the differences between those, which is really helpful if you're building a kind of straightforward application that doesn't have too many differences between a mobile and desktop version. It lets you utilize the existing tools and libraries that already exist for the web today, which makes it a lot easier to bring in those existing APIs and that existing content to your virtual reality applications, which is really great for data processing type things, social applications. There's so many tools that are already available to developers on the web that building for web VR helps you use that immediately in the format that it's already in when you're building your own applications. It lets you really easily switch between VR and non-VR mode, and it offloads all of the interfacing with the hardware to the browser. This has some positive and negative effects, which I'll kind of go into a little bit more in just a couple minutes, but kind of this helps developers not focus as much on the specific hardware that they're building for, so they can support a wider range of devices a lot faster than they would have if they had to work with the individual SDKs for each different device that they wanted to support. Some of the downsides for web VR as it stands right now is that you get performance hits because you're not running native graphics. It's not a browser standard yet, so you're not going to see this in all browsers. You need a couple of experimental browsers to play around with the web VR API. You get less insight into the hardware itself because it's offloaded into the browser's capabilities, but you also, again, depending on your experience with developing on hardware, this is a positive or a negative, but you don't get to see that as much. And if a device isn't supported by the browser, you don't necessarily get to do too much about that if you're just building applications or web pages. And then the last part kind of along with that is that you kind of have a little bit less control over bugs that happen with the browser detecting the devices. And since it is an experimental API and kind of in very early stages of bringing VR to the web, things change a lot and you may not always have control over what may or may not break your code. So how it works is that the website that you're building will initially kind of figure out if you're on a desktop device or on a mobile device. If you're on a desktop VR device, the web page will initially be rendered without any VR support. You'll still see it, but it's just going to be rendered in one screen in front of you. The browser will then detect that there's a VR device that's attached to the computer you're on, And it will store that device information so that the code you're writing can actually read into that and say, what type of device do I have? In a couple of my other talks that I've done, I've gone into some of the specifics about the different browser device types. But for now, we'll keep it simple and just say that it will know if you're having, if you have a headset plugged in or any additional input trackers or controllers. The website can then be put into VR mode from the user, and the site will query the browser to get the information from the device to help it render everything as appropriate for that specific device. So if you have, say, an Oculus Rift plugged in, and your browser will query for the hardware attached to your computer and say, we have an Oculus Rift, it's this generation, it's running this software, and we know that this is the resolution, this is how we're going to render this specific content for this specific device. And the web VR applications and kind of the boilerplate code that we go into will then go in and say, all right, this is how we're going to render this given the device that we have. If you're on mobile VR, things are a little bit different, because with mobile VR, you have a variety of different headsets that you can use, but essentially the phone itself is the processing and display device. So any mobile browser can really kind of show this content in VR, because it has a polyfill that's applied to it to make up for the fact that it could be any type of device. So the browser will detect that the device that you're on is a phone, and the web page is put into VR mode by the user and fakes the stereoscopic rendering. This is just done by, you know, taking into consideration things like the screen size and the resolution to figure that out, and it's an approximation of what the device is. And this is kind of something you may have seen if you've used any kind of mobile VR applications on, say, like an iOS, an Android, or a Windows phone device, is that instead of having a full stereoscopic render, you would just end up having the screen on the phone split in half. The phone gyroscope then updates all the orientation and sends that back to the browser, which can be applied. And if you've ever watched like a 360-degree video on your phone and moved it around to see the different content, that same general principle is how web VR renders to your mobile phone. So with that said, we're going to dive a little bit into what the VR sample code looks like and talk a little bit about the VR template and how you can get started implementing this into your sites today. The web VR template was developed by an engineer over at Google, and I've linked to it down here below. I'll also put it in the description box. And what it does is it does all of the hardware management that's offloaded to the browser, detecting the device, position state, the attributes of the device, and the field of view. The JavaScript code manages all of the changes in that orientation and then applies that to a WebGL canvas item that's rendering a 3D scene in your browser using 3JS. The update loop in the browser is really similar to a game logic loop, and the code will continuously run and check those updates. Again, one of the things that you see is this tends to be a little bit less performant than it would be if it wasn't running in the browser, but optimizations make that a lot less noticeable, and depending on your application, that's going to be, the performance is going to be more or less important depending on the graphics that you have and the rendering that you're doing. So what's in a VR application? You need to consider four major parts of your JavaScript code when you're writing for VR. And this is all stuff that's contained in that boilerplate project that I was talking about below. So first, you have your scene, which is all of the 3D content that you're going to see rendered in the WebGL canvas. This is exactly what you would see if you were building for a regular video game. It's all of the content that's placed into a 3D environment and a 3D world. All of the objects that you interact with will be part of the scene. All of the lights, character movement, etc. That's all rendered in the scene. Next, you have your VR controls library, and this is what listens for position changes and then manipulates the camera that's placed into your VR scene. So you don't have to go in and check every single position and update the camera itself when you're building. The VR controls will do that for you. The VR effect and VR polyfill is what's responsible for actually rendering the scene with two side-by-side cameras. So as a developer, you can build your scene with one camera, and you don't have to go in and try to set up your own stereoscopic rig. You absolutely can do that if you're familiar with that kind of graphics rendering, but I know that I'm not, so this boilerplate code ends up being a huge help in that I don't have to worry about switching in and out of VR mode. The VR effect and VR polyfill handle that for you. Lastly, you have the VR manager, which queries for the devices and is responsible for applying all of those hardware transforms to the VR controls. So here we've just got three lines of JavaScript code that will start with our application to build out our VR-enabled website. The first thing that you have is the VR renderer, which you're creating. And this one is just a simple WebGL renderer. Right now, none of this specifically is any different than you would use if you were building a regular WebGL 3.js application. You have the renderer, and you have to add that to your scene with the document append child. But as I mentioned, none of this is specific to VR just yet. Once we've done that, we're going to go ahead and create the components of our 3.js scene. I'll go into what 3.js is a little bit more in just a minute, but it's a 3D graphics library that lets you build out, you know, the 3D scenes that I was mentioning earlier. So you're going to build your scene out, and this is where you'd add in your camera and you start to pull in the VR-specific JavaScript libraries. So here, after I've created the scene and the camera, I'm going to go ahead and create some VR controls and the VR effect. The VR effect uses the renderer that we created on the previous slide, and then we create a manager that handles all of it together and kind of brings it into one cohesive VR unit to work with. Next, it's just whatever you want to put into your JavaScript scene. So for this super basic example, I just made a giant spinning torus knot. And with that, this isn't exactly the demo that I'm going to show you because this is a little bit, I have one that's a little bit more interesting, but here is where you would just place any of your 3D objects that you wanted to build. So if you were building a scene, the scene that I will show you is in outer space. So that one's a little bit longer, but whatever you feel like putting into your 3.js scene, that goes here by using kind of scene.add and creating those mesh objects. Once we have all of those components set up, we really simply just want to have a basic animate function. I added mesh.rotation on the X and Y axes for my mesh just to give it a little bit of an interesting kind of twist. But if you're not animating anything in your scene, you don't have to do that part. What you do want to do is make sure that the controls are updating on every animate loop and that your manager is rendering the scene every time that changes, because even really tiny head movements just from, you know, breathing while you're wearing the headset are going to need to be updated, because otherwise it's going to create this weird dissonance between the user in what they're seeing in the physical world or in the virtual world versus what they're doing in the physical world. After that, we're just gonna kick off the request animation frame by repeating that animation loop, and this will keep running until the user closes the application. So what we actually have here is an entire virtual reality web application that's written in about 20 lines of code. It's not super complicated to get started with this. If you're building a really complicated 3.js scene, obviously, this code's going to be a lot longer, but if you're just doing something really simple to get started, this is all that you need to work with, which is actually really cool, because the first time I went in and started looking at web VR, I assumed that I was going to have to write all of the rendering and the controls myself, and it was really helpful to already have those tools provided for you so that you can build those websites in a really short amount of time. With that, we're going to go into the fun part, and I'm going to show you a really quick demo of a photo viewing application that I built set in outer space. So as you can see right now, I'm standing in front of a green screen here. I'm going to show you what my web VR site looks like when it's in action. All right. I'm assuming it's cool. All right. So what you can see behind me here is that I'm actually standing in an outer space environment that I have created in 3.js. If I kind of move around and see and like look around at the different scene, you can actually see that the website is updating as I'm moving my head. So if I look up, the web page is changing the camera orientation. When I look down, it's changing for me. You can see I've just built a really simple photo viewer here of pictures that I really love of outer space that was taken from NASA. They were very generously let me use their pictures for this application. And I built this whole scene that you see here in about 150 lines of code. All of this is up online, and I'll link to that below too, so you can go play with it yourself. But in the meantime, I'm kind of just going to enjoy the view that I get here. Cool. So I just want to give you a little bit of an overview into 3.js, which is the rendering library that I use to build the application you just saw, as well as what the boilerplate code uses. And if you've already worked with 3D graphics, a lot of this is probably pretty similar to something you've already worked with. We're not going to get too into those specific details in this slide, but I want to give you a really brief overview of 3JS in case you haven't worked with any of those types of libraries before, just so you have an idea of what to expect if you start building for VR. So what is 3JS? 3JS is an incredibly powerful JavaScript library that lets you build 3D content directly into the browser. It's the primary building block of a lot of this web VR content that you'll see, and it utilizes the JavaScript abstraction layer, WebGL, of OpenGL, so it interacts with the graphics card and is able to draw really powerful graphics right into the browser. It's used for a ton of really cool websites. It's, as I mentioned, it's a really, really powerful graphics library. And just you can see just some of the examples here. And if you go to the 3js.org site, you can play with these interactive examples. But everyone from kind of like Disney and like Pixar, there's like Google, all of the content that creates, like all the websites that you see that has this immersive content will probably be using 3JS in some form. When you're building scenes, 3JS contains a lot of the fundamental primitive building blocks that you need for 3D graphics development. You'll get support for the primitive shapes, textures and materials, a variety of different 3D mesh objects that you can do. You can have different lighting effects, different material effects and shaders, different camera effects, all sorts of stuff there, and a lot of different support for hardware can be really easily brought into these 3JS scenes. Again, all of this right in the browser, nothing running natively, so you can build some really powerful content that anyone can really start playing with without having to install any specific types of applications. So looking ahead, there's a lot of potential for different ways of bringing virtual reality to the internet. Web VR is one that I've been working with for a little while now, which is what I wanted to kind of showcase in this video. But actually, just like a couple of days ago, aframe.io was released, which is experimental support for virtual reality directly in the markup. So instead of having to write this in JavaScript, you can actually go ahead and just write specific HTML style elements that will then render different objects in the browser. I haven't spent too much time looking into this yet. I know that from what I have seen, it looks like it's a really powerful tool that's going to be immensely helpful as VR starts to become more common. And I am really excited to dive deep into this and share with you in a future episode what I learn about A-Frame. It's aframe.io if you want to check that out now. And again, that's more of a markup style virtual reality web tool. So then just to recap a little bit about web VR and what we've talked about today, web VR is insanely cool and has the potential to bring virtual reality to so many devices so quickly, distributed content without any kind of application stores or anything. You know, it helps you switch in and out of VR content really quickly, which is super nice if you're browsing the web and you want to see something maybe that you're shopping for and you want to see that in a virtual environment. You can really easily kind of enable that functionality, switch in and out, and you can create really beautiful experiences through either 360-degree video content or using a tool and library like 3JS. Lastly, what I want to ask from you is that you help me get this functionality supported in Microsoft Edge. The new browser is amazing, and I would love to be able to start playing with things in VR in Edge. So head over to this link to upvote the user voice request to have some of this functionality brought into Microsoft Edge browser. Thank you so much for watching. If you have other questions about building for web VR or what virtual reality looks like on the web, I've linked a few more resources that I've worked on down below. And stay tuned for future videos that go more in depth into some of the content that we talked through today. Stay tuned. Bye.